Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Again, that no matter how young or how old you are, it applies. It applies because this is a battle that we all face. We have been as followers of Christ, and I think I would love to be able to do it, and I probably should after we get done with Acts, do an exhaustive study on grace. Because it's sad because grace is awesome. Grace is the gift of salvation. God's grace, his unmerited favor, is extended to us. But sadly, as Jude and many other scriptures point out, so often God's grace is used as a license for immorality. Christians will say, hey, I'm saved, and you know, because the Bible says, you know, your sin's been separated as far as east is from the west, I can go out and do whatever I want to, and that's what the Lord saved me from, is the consequence of sin. Understand this, church, tonight. The gift of God's grace is not a license for immorality. It's not a license to go out there and act and live how you want to live and how I want to live and then excuse it under the umbrella of, you know, hey, I'm saved. As the old bumper sticker, by the way, I don't like this bumper sticker. I'm not perfect, just forgiven. So we wake up every morning and go, you know, I'm going to sin and that's just the way it is and I'm just so thankful that God's going to forgive me for it. Let me tell you something. We got to be really careful because sin is something that is not to be messed around with. Yes, God forgives and God saves, but in no way, what does the scripture talk about? Not only a house that's been swept clean, someone who has taken what the picture of grace is, not understood what a transforming work of God is, but it also talks about it's better not to know the way of righteousness than to know the way of righteousness and turn your back on the sacred command that was passed down to you. Scripture talks a lot about fleeing the desires of the flesh. Why, if it's not an issue, why would Scripture address that specifically? That's what I think has been under magnified as followers of Christ when Scripture says, be holy because I am holy, not only in the Old Testament, but it also says it under the New Covenant. When you think about all of these respectable sins people think about, anger and bitterness and dissension and in all of these things, blatant immorality. Well, God knows, I just couldn't help it. What if you knew what they did? If you knew what that happened? If you knew this situation, you'd understand. Oh, no. I understand what Scripture says. I don't understand our cheap attempts to cheapen God's grace and use that as a license to deny the Lord is ultimately what we're doing. We're denying it because we're saying, hey, it doesn't matter what the Scripture says because God will understand. We have an understanding. The understanding is that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We have been called to be sanctified, to be holy, to be set apart. What differentiates us from the world? My question to you tonight, what does? The title of the message tonight is Ruled in Righteousness. Now, what righteousness do we have? Our righteousness is as filthy rags, but the righteousness of Christ has been imputed, has been given. That's what the picture of salvation is. It's been placed upon us. It shields us from the effects, ultimately, of our sin. And tonight, I hope you understand what God's call in Scripture is, that sin is the battle we will deal with, but tonight one of two natures is being fed in our lives. The spirit nature or the sin nature? Tonight, what is being fed in your life? Are you feeding that sin nature, whether overtly or maybe indirectly? And if you are, I would encourage you tonight to see what God's Word says, what God's Word calls us to in the behavior, what God calls us to in the sense of what grace is and the understanding of it and the application of how that affects us, how that is applied to our lives, and how we live out God's perfect purpose and plan for our life. I hope you found Romans chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 12 through 14 tonight. And if you're able physically, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. Do not offer any parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness. But as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourself to God as weapons for righteousness. For sin will not rule over you because you are not under law, but under grace. Father, thank you tonight again for your word, this privilege we have to proclaim your word. Father, we thank you that the truth is unchanging. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would speak to whatever area, whatever issue, whatever battle, whatever struggle. Lord, encourage us, challenge us. Tonight, Father, I pray that each of us, though, would leave in the middle of your will, your perfect will, in the midst of your perfect peace that surpasses all understanding. And may you alone be glorified. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So verse 12 again. So therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. And I'll stop there for a minute. First thing that I want to share with you comes from that verse tonight. It's this: feed your faith, not filth and failure. Feed your faith. Now, again, what scripture speaks to faith and how we grow, how we obtain faith, but not only grow in it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Hence my statement again, we go back to Exhibit A. Read your Bible. You wonder why you don't have the faith and you don't trust God? If you're not in his word, if faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of God, to do anything other than get in his word to see your faith grow is literally an exercise in insanity. Doing the same thing over, expecting a different outcome. So I'm just going to will myself and pray myself into faith. It can't, it won't happen because, again, obedience is the only place that God grows us, and by the way, grows us through conviction if we're not doing that, and he beats us to death by our own actions, allowing the fruit of our rebellion and our running to come to fruition. But when you want to live out that life that ends in obedience, it ends in blessing, that ends in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, it's only found in obedience, and the obedience is to stay in his word. Because when we feed our faith, what is the result of that? A greater faith, a magnification. I love it because God has literally laid out a beautiful plan, the MLM plan, multi-level marketing. Amen? You want your faith to grow, you get in his word. What does it do? It magnifies, it multiplies. So when you are obedient, God just adds to that and it grows and it just continues to multiply and it divides, big time factor of multiplication. But the other thing that happens when we don't feed our faith, we feed filth. Not only filth, I'm not talking about getting online and looking at something or looking at someone and lusting. That'll come in time if you're not doing your faith exercise and growth in the word. Oh, trust me, the lust will come. But when you feed filth, filth comes in so many different forms, by the way. It comes in bad attitudes. It comes in anger. It comes in jealousy. We don't like to think about jealousy, and we don't like to think about envy, and we don't like to think about bitterness and factions as sin. It's sin. By the way, it's just as sinful as leaving your spouse and going to a hotel with somebody. And I know you probably don't want to hear that, but it is. It's just as wicked, if not more, because you believe, like a Pharisee, that that's not nearly as bad as what they do. But it is. Because when you feed filth on any level, it ultimately leads to failure. And you know what else it does? It undermines your faith. Because when you're not in the Word, if you don't think, well, I haven't been in the Word and I'm not necessarily, you know, doing anything real bad right now, so I'm just not growing. Oh, wait a minute. If you're not growing, you are actually going backwards. You're in reverse, spiritually speaking. And I want to tell you this. Don't forget, sometimes it takes a whole lot longer to get back to where you were than you think. I've seen people that it took years to get back a few months of living according to the flesh. It took some years at times to get back. Just, you don't know how many times I wish I could play the recordings from the people if they had given me permission and it had been recorded. The number of times people wept in front of me saying, I wish I could go back just to the place here that I was when I felt so much peace and I was in such obedience, and the foolishness of what I was entrapped in has robbed me from so much. I just want to get back to where I was. The problem is we don't recognize sometimes that's much harder than we think. You know that I've actually dealt with some people who've never been able to get back there. I don't know why. I don't know if it's Proverbs 1. I don't know. Sometimes I fear that. I know Scripture is very serious about being careful. It's better not to know. Like a dog returns to its vomit. We got to be really careful. Tonight, do you have a swept house? Is swept clean? You better make sure that there's a title deed transfer that's happened, that you are filled with the Spirit of God through salvation, because anybody can start going to church and quit drinking, smoking, or cussing, or whatever it is that you thought was the issue in your life, and clean the house, and everything looks really pretty on the outside, and you feel so wonderful, and you're so thankful that all of this filth has been removed from the house. If you hadn't allowed the Spirit of God through salvation to fill that house, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, there's something in arid places that will come back seeking rest. And it will come back if it finds its house unoccupied. It will bring seven more wicked spirits, and the condition will be worse at the end than it was at the beginning. Feed your faith, not filth and failure. And I want to challenge you to remember that for the rest of your life, because it's consequential. It matters. Again, when we deal with the things of the heart, those are things that transcend time, and it's the matters of the heart are the things of eternity. And tonight, the things of eternity are the matters of the heart, and our faith is a matter of the heart. Therefore, it's a matter of eternity tonight. That I would pray all of us tonight would step back, do an introspective, reflective look, and say, what is the nature I'm feeding tonight, my faith or filth? And then verse 13, and do not offer any parts of this to sin as weapons for unrighteousness, but as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourself to God and all the parts of yourself to God as weapons for righteousness. Second thing I want to share with you tonight is this: be used for truth, not trash. You and I every day have the ability. I love your candid transparency, brother, and sharing. Hey, I woke up this morning out of foul attitude. And how I shared that, and how getting in the Word helped dispel, and the beauty of God's creation helped dispel this attitude that really recognized as something that was contradictory to walking in the Spirit. You're not walking in victory when we wake up with that muddied attitude, do we? We struggle. That's a struggle for all of us, and I appreciate that transparency, because we all struggle at times being what we don't want to be. What did Paul say? The things I should do, I find myself not doing, and the things that I shouldn't do, I find myself doing. But I know there's nobody in here that would ever struggle with that. If you'd say you don't ever struggle with that, you're at the wrong place. You don't need to be here. Amen? But what we've got to do is do what Scripture says. Take every thought captive to the will of Christ. Every thought. Not some. Not a few. It says every thought captive to the will of Christ. Might I emphasize once again, every thought captive. That tells us that we can never sleep mentally in our spiritual sense. Meaning, during the day when we want to just sit back, you know, I'm just not going to think about anything today. No, we can't do that. None of us can. I'm just tired and I want to rest. You know that a mind on idle, we always said the idle mind is a devil's workshop, your parents probably said growing up. That is true, adults, not just for kids. It's magnified for us adults because we've got a whole lot more mud in the brain than our kids do. Life experience stuff and many times traumas and things that are not good that are swimming around in there just waiting to take root, to set hold, to find a place to squat on our brains and allow some of that brain power to be used to dwell on, to focus on. No, see, Scripture says you take every thought. So when you begin to give birth to one of your fleshly desires, listen to what I said. Not the devil told me to do it. The devil tempted me and I couldn't help it. No. The Bible talks about it. Actually, not. It doesn't. He may encourage us, but it's our sinful desires that we're dragged away by. So therefore, what we have to do the moment that we see a birth in process, our thoughts trying to birth in our minds things that should not be there, we have to take those captive to the will of Christ. What is God's desire for us? Not to yield our members is members of unrighteousness, but righteousness. So we take those and we start repeating Scripture if that's what you need to do. If you get attacked by fear and the feeling of fear and the mental struggle with fear, what God is not a God of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. That's just one of so many that we can begin repeating. If you find yourself being taken over by a battle with lust, what? Flee the desires, the wicked desires. Flee them. Run with reckless abandon. Watch the show Cops. If you want to know what fleeing is and a mental exercise, watch the show Cops. And when you see someone on there that takes off running, that's what fleeing is. Now you'll understand the passion with which I'm talking about us running from the mental thing that we are struggling with when this happens. It is not an exercise in jogging, fast walking. No, there's actually, of course I was a policeman, so I know what fleeing is. Not from me. I know what it's like to have people flee from you. They're not playing games. They're running with everything in them. It's the fight or flight mechanism that urges you to either fight or to flight, run. That's what we need to do spiritually. We should run, we should flee those evil desires, that sin that we are struggling with mentally, taking that captive to the will of Christ and fleeing from those thoughts that are contradictory, they're counter everything that God's desire, plan, purpose, and will is for our life. So be used for truth, not trash. God didn't create us to be used as a dump, spiritually speaking. God's desire for us is to be used for truth, the unchanging truth of God's word. And then verse 14, for sin will not rule over you because you are not under law, but under grace. The third and final thing I want to share with you tonight is this: grace brought us freedom from sin's curse, not a license to sin. The gift of salvation is his unmerited favor poured out on us. That gift through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was not a get out of hell free, a license for immorality, a license to say, you know, I just don't want to read, but God understands. No, as a matter of fact, I think any time in history, we are at a place where there's no excuse. No excuse. Well, I'm just not a reader, Brother Jonathan. I just, I don't do well with reading, and I don't know what to do. So see, you can even have a girl read it if you don't like the man's voice. You can read it fast, slow, or super slow. You can have it read to you any way you want it read. If you struggle with reading, by the way, if you struggle with reading, then I would encourage you to do a double thing. I would encourage you to sit down in a quiet place, and if you have trouble reading, use that as a reading lesson. Let it play it while you read it. You want to give them another excuse? Because I'll have an excuse that will blow away your excuse. So therefore, the bad part is I have just removed your ability to say, I'm sorry, I have a hard time focusing and reading. Let me tell you one thing. Don't talk about these movies that you said you just watched or how you sit down for 6 hours and play your Xbox, but you have a hard time concentrating. I'm sorry. I've seen every person in this building just about, besides a couple of our senior saints, on a phone. You ain't got no problem paying attention. You ready? You just have a problem with the content focus. That's what the issue is. It's not an issue at all with focus. It is tonight, what do you desire to focus on? What do you want, though, ultimately, when we think about what do we want with the blessing, the outflow of our life? What do we ultimately want? Do you want God to give you an awesome blessing tonight? Do you want God to grow your faith like never before, where you have that faith of a mustard seed? You know what the Bible says? It moves mountains. You know what moving a mountain is? It's when God told Abraham to go and didn't tell him where to go, just said go. But he says this, if you go, I'll bless you. We have the promise of God's word with that level of blessing and promise tonight when we get in his word. He says, I'll pour out my thoughts to you. Again, read the blessing found in Proverbs chapter 1. What happens when you listen? He'll pour out wisdom. He'll pour out blessing on us. By the way, blessing is in God's wisdom to us. His heartbeat. That's what God wants to do. But when we won't allow him to speak to us, what do we experience? Pain and heartache and hurt. In closing, I want you to understand something tonight. This is what I know too well. You know, when I was young, God had given me a lot of experience even when I was young, and I could pretty much tell you how things would go when I was a kid. I was really sharp. I paid attention to everything. I had the ability to see both of these. I'm actually pretty decent. I can see there now. If anything happens in this field of vision, don't think that I'm going to miss it, okay? It used to be here. I can still see it a little bit. My eyes aren't as good as they used to. I paid attention to everything all the time. So I pretty much could see what was going on all the time, and I knew ultimately from watching all of these things in life and being a child that ended up being a pastor's son, I was able to watch these situations play out. So I would come into church, I'd see things happen, then I would see the results of things. And again, I didn't have high intelligence, but I had enough intelligence to know you do A, B happens. You do A and B, C happens. You do A, B, C, and D, and E happens. Now, I speak from an experience to that level that's been magnified. It's on steroids. Tonight, if your marriage is headed to the toilet, if it is in the toilet, if tonight you've excused the Lord just in your reading from your life, let me assure you of something. There is cataclysmic. You know what cataclysmic is? It's big. It's huge. It's major. It's earth-shattering. Disaster is on the way. Now, let me give you the variable. The only variable tonight on it is timing. That's the only variable. It's guaranteed, unless you turn and you repent. But if you have abandoned, you've abdicated in your home the spiritual leadership position, there is a disaster on the way. I'll tell you what I would attribute it to. It's whenever they have these sensors in the ocean. And you think about the sensors in the ocean that are there to sense what? Tsunamis. Earthquakes under the seabed. Now they can tell you when an earthquake's happened, but what do they don't know? They don't know when and what time and what will be affected or hit by the tsunamis. We saw what happened in Indonesia, didn't we? It was over 300,000 people killed in that tsunami. That's the type of thing spiritually that happens when we abdicate the position that God has placed us in, and then we have excused God from lordship in our life. You want to love your wife and your family the way God's called you to, and you want to stand steadfast on truth, steadfast on something that doesn't change, but yet you want to be your family's friend instead of a leader, it will never work. It won't. Because leadership is doing the right thing even when you don't want to do it. Being a man or woman of God is doing what Matthew chapter 18 says when you don't want to do it. What? Somebody's hurt you, someone's offended you, you go to it, you make it right, and you do what Paul says, as it concerns who? Live at peace with all men. As far as it concerns you. So you have an obligation to live at peace with all men. If someone's hurt you, or you've hurt someone, you have an obligation to make it right. If you've got a foul mouth, you better talk to him about it, because he says, how can the mouth bless me and the same mouth curse me? This should not be. Well, I just can't help it. Let me just assure you of something. The wellspring of the soul is coming out of what? Thank you. If you don't like what's coming out of here, I would assure you that you better start looking at what's in here, because what's in here is coming out of there. I don't think it's that serious. Well, you can think all you want to, and you can live in your little bubble of compromise all day long. But the reality of the actions that are being manifested, if you yourself right now are going, ouch, that hurts. By the way, nobody told me of anybody saying anything tonight in that. So guess what? If you feel bad about what I'm saying right now, you better thank the Lord and talk to him about it, because no one has pre-warned me about someone I needed to talk to in the pulpit tonight. But all of this goes hand in hand, because grace brought us freedom from sin's curse, but not a license to live like a hell-bound rebel. Tonight, God's grace is sufficient for us. His power is made perfect in our weakness. There's a lot to be said for humility as a Christian. Humility in even sharing a struggle or a battle or an attitude with the body of Christ so they can pray for you and encourage you, and also be encouraged that, hey, a dear brother in Christ is struggling with that, and at times when I struggle with that, I don't feel like I'm some sorry rebel that God doesn't love. We're going to have days like that, that we wake up and literally fall flat on our face 7 times, but the righteous, what? Get up that 7 too. But it's an imperative to be honest with each other, and let me tell you where that starts, being honest with yourself. How many people I see trying to run everybody else's life, they can't even run their own. Get your house cleaned up before you try to run somebody else's. Get your spiritual house in order before you try to tell somebody else how to run their spiritual home. Because what's going to happen? You're going to deceive yourself, and you're going to find yourself so steeped in compromise, you won't know your left hand from your right hand. And what you will fail to see is that you're literally standing there plucking a speck out of your neighbor's eye while you have a log sticking out of your own eye. And you'll find yourself smack dab in the midst of God's judgment, just like the Pharisees did, standing up on their pedestals of righteousness, when yet they were standing there as a stark demonstration of godless unrighteousness. You can't live in sin and win, no matter how obscure or how seemingly inconsequential you may think it is. There's no such thing as inconsequential sin. Feed your faith, church, not filth and failure. Be used for truth, not trash. Don't allow Satan to use you as an object of unrighteousness. The only person that can make sure that happens is you. I can't do it. your husband, your wife. No one else can have you, make you, force you. They can encourage and challenge, but they cannot will you to obedience. And then again, grace brought us freedom from sin's curse. Don't do what Jude warns us explicitly about. Do not use God's grace for a license for immorality and denying the sovereign Savior and Lord in it. Don't do it. Scripture calls us to be set apart. That's another thing that has not been talked enough about in this nation, especially this nation, this country, being set apart. What is set apart these days? Well, I would encourage you to get in there and do a study yourself on it. What is being set apart? I'd encourage you and challenge you to get in God's word and seek the truth in what being set apart is, honestly. What is being set apart? Well, I know my Amish friends, what they think. I know what my Mennonite friends think that means. I would say they are set apart. There's a big differentiation. Whether their motive is in line spiritually, that's between them and the Lord. They're doing what God has, in their opinions, laid on their hearts, and to God be the glory. I'm not the one that's going to tell them that what they're doing is right or wrong. But I would ask you and me tonight, what differentiates us from the world? What sets us apart? Does the world see a difference in us? And if you're honest with yourself tonight and would say, well, I don't know, you might want to dig into that one. You might want to dig into it. What does that mean, being set apart? Now, we can explain it away. Well, I think that I looked in the concordance and I think it. Well, wait a minute. Have you literally prayed over, you fasted over it? Have you sought God's face concerning what it means to be set apart? And what does that mean? I know tonight, failure is crouched at the door. We know that. It's what the Bible says. The enemy prowls around, seeking whom he may devour. Are you an object tonight of righteousness or an object of wrath? Are you set apart for righteousness and truth? Or tonight, are you so convoluted in what you have made Scripture or you've omitted because these things, you don't like the comfort level of what this calls you to? So you just kind of don't look at that and you skim over it. You give it a cursory read when you're going through that. But, you know, because it hurts, you just kind of stay away from that. You know, it's like the parable of the prodigal son, right? And in the prodigal son story is a little bit rough because it calls us to wait. I don't understand it because, you know, I can keep witnessing to someone that is in overt rebellion that claims to be a brother or sister. And you know, because I do that, then it makes me think that I can still win them over for Christ. And we justify our compromise instead of doing what the word says. It's up to you, spiritually. I'm just telling you that we've got to get serious about Scripture. If you want Scripture to be lived out, if you want to see the truth of God's Word unfold in our lives, we cannot continue to excuse away aspects or elements of truth and believe for a moment. That's just like me saying in James, well, that was the apostolic era when they prayed over people anointed with oil. That's what Pentecostals do, but we're not going to do it here because we're in the post-apostolic age, you know, where God just kind of sitting back now. He's chilled out on that stuff. No, I know what the Word says. I don't care what anybody calls me. I'm going to do what the Word says when somebody wants to be prayed over and anointed with oil. I don't care if they would one day stick me up on a pole and run me out the front door because of it. Because it's truth. It's what God's Word says. And either I believe it, or let's go to the house. Church, we've got nothing left to stand on if it's not true. I'm going to stand on the truth of God's word because I know just like God, it doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I won't have to worry as this world changes, as churches close all over the place because they can't even figure out if Genesis is real, they say in their minds anymore. Well, I know it is. Not everything in God's word makes sense to me, but I know it's not a God problem, and I know it has nothing to do with God, but it has everything to do with me. So I stand steadfast on that truth. It'll never change. Because I know one thing. There is a litany of godly men and women all through history that testify the truth of God's word. And likewise, there is a litany of people who rebelled, who shook their fist in God's face, and are now the reality as they breathe their last breath. So many even doctors who've watched people die. So there is this stark difference between Christians and people who are not Christians in their death experience. Spend some time reading those alone if you want to see what difference there is between light and darkness, between a follower of Christ versus a follower of the enemy who has completely and overtly rejected Christ. Tonight, allow your life, your home, this church body to be ruled in righteousness. Not my righteousness, it's the righteousness of Christ. It is the righteousness that He paid a price so that we can be a part of tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.